From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself this morning, Tuesday, the 28th of July, 2009. Here in Tucson, there will be a fundraiser for Hope Animal Shelter, Tucson's only no-kill shelter, this evening. It's being held at the Sweet Tomatoes restaurants on East Broadway Boulevard and North Stone Avenue. Further information can be found on the web at hopeanimalshelter.net or by calling the Sweet Tomatoes restaurants at 747-3864 or 293-3343. And a happy 10th anniversary to Berkeley Liberation Radio, which has been operating for a decade without federal communications corruption hindrance, 104.1 FM in the East Bay. Patrick Murphy is a Democratic representative from Philadelphia. He's also an Iraq War vet who, along with a batch of other veterans and gay rights organizations, is leading a five-week-long campaign to abolish the Pentagon's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. It started this morning at Independence Mall in Philly. I'll keep you updated as the campaign rolls on. After those same-sex kissing incidents in El Paso and Salt Lake City that I've reported on here led to hassles with John Law and subsequent kiss-in protests, bloggers David Badesh and David Mayu are organizing the great nationwide kiss-in set for Sunday, August the 15th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. There's a Facebook page for it already, and thus far there are local events slated for New York City, Boston, Atlanta, Iowa City, Houston, Irvine, California, Little Rock, Portland, Oregon, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose, and Seattle, with additional events developing for Chicago, Anchorage, Charlotte, Cincinnati, Dallas, Denver, Edmonton, making it an international kiss-in, Erie, Pennsylvania, Fort Worth, Fresno, Los Angeles, Miami, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Richmond, Virginia, Sacramento, Salt Lake City, San Antonio, and Spokane, Washington. You may have heard about this already, but now that Walter Cronkite is gone, Time magazine staged an online poll to see who was now America's most trusted anchorman. The winner? Jon Stewart of Comedy Central, with 44%. The three terrestrial network anchors weren't even close. Brian Williams of NBC got 29%, Charlie Gibson of ABC 19%, and Cronkite's current successor at CBS, Katie Couric, didn't even get into double digits, only 9%. I wonder what Patty Rossborough, Stewart's co-host of Short Attention Span Theater, thinks of all this. Pete Rose might be pardoned by Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig. Bill Madden of the New York Daily News reports that several of the most influential inductees in the Baseball Hall of Fame may be lobbying Selig to junk Rose's lifetime suspension due to gambling during his stretch as a Cincinnati Reds manager in the 1980s. Rose, of course, was Major League Baseball's all-time hit king as a player for the Reds, Phillies, and Expos. The tip-off was Henry Aaron's discussion with reporters on Saturday about wanting an official asterisk put on the stats of steroid cheats elected to the Hall of Fame. Of course, his all-time home run mark was eclipsed by one of those suspected steroid cheats, Barry Bonds, a couple of years back. When a reporter brought up the name Pete Rose, Aaron responded, "I would like to see Pete in. He belongs there." Obituaries since we last met include one for boxing champion Vernon the Viper Forrest, who held three different championships, WBC and IBF welterweight and WBC light welterweight, and was planning a comeback from an injury when he was shot while being robbed at an Atlanta gas station on Saturday night. In the late 1990s, Forrest had also founded the nonprofit organization Destiny's Child, providing group residences in Atlanta for people with mental and emotional disabilities. He was a far too young 38 years old. another light welterweight champion, this time a silver medalist in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, who went on to become a gay role model, has died. Marc Leduc was beaten in the finals at Barcelona by Cuban Hector Vinent. After a handful of pro matches, Leduc decided to retire, and at the same time he announced that he was gay. He would spend much of the rest of his life speaking to gay teenagers about dealing with their sexuality. Leduc was found unconscious in a sauna at a Toronto spa, where he may have suffered heat stroke. He was 47 years old. Rick Bryan is also gone. Defensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons in the 80s and 90s, and an All-American while at the University of Oklahoma before that. Coweta, Oklahoma, heart attack at 47. And a lead zombie has died. Specifically, Pittsburgh actor Clayton Hill, who played one of the lead zombies. He wore a white sweater to help you figure out which one he was. In the original George Romero version of Dawn of the Dead in 1978, Burgettstown, Pennsylvania, pneumonia at 78. Dirty Dan McBride, lead guitarist for Sha Na Na, has passed away in his sleep from an undisclosed cause, Los Angeles at 63. The last of Britain's army veterans of the First World War is dead. Harry Patch was also the last British veteran of that war to still reside in the United Kingdom, Wells, England, at 111 years of age. That leaves only one British veteran of the war still alive, Royal Navy vet Claude Choles, who at 108 resides in Palmyra, West Australia. Choles is also the last living veteran of both World Wars I and II, as well as the last living World War I seaman and veteran residing in Australia. He had transferred to the Royal Australian Navy in 1926. One of the founders of the New Riders of the Purple Sage has died. John Marmaduke Dawson was also the main songwriter for the New Riders, who blended country rock with hippie idealism. San Miguel de Allende, Mexico. Stomach cancer at 64. The first female journalist to win Canada's National Newspaper Award has passed on. Dorothy Horworth worked for the Regina Leader Post, the Saskatchewan Farmer, the Saskatoon Star Phoenix, the Toronto Evening Telegram, and the Vancouver Sun. It was while working the Toronto paper that she won the National Newspaper Award in 1949. Pickering, Ontario, respiratory failure at 97. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one thing more today. Lonesome George, the last remaining giant tortoise of his kind, may soon be a father, to the delight of conservationists. Unhatched eggs have been found in his bachelor pen in the Galapagos Islands, according to his keepers. For decades, the last known Pinta Island tortoise had shown little interest in reproducing, but at age 90, George is said to be in his sexual prime. Galapagos tortoises were among the species that Charles Darwin observed to formulate his theory of evolution in the 19th century. Scientists have been trying to get George to mate since 1993, when they introduced two female tortoises of a different subspecies into his pen. The Galapagos National Park says the five eggs found on Monday were in perfect condition and have been placed in an incubator. Now we have to wait for the incubation period of 120 days to find out whether they are fertile, it said in a statement. The 90-kilogram George stunned conservationists last year by mating for the first time in the 36 years that he has been in captivity, but the eggs laid by one of his female companions turned out to be infertile. Tortoises were hunted for their meat by sailors and fishermen to the point of extinction, while their habitat had been eaten away by goats introduced from the mainland. Some 20,000 giant tortoises still live on the Galapagos Islands. Of course, if you don't like any of this news, you always have the option of making some news for yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow morning, have yourselves some peace and oranges. Thank you.